I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk some baseball as we head out to the WGK Law Guest Hotline, where we're joined by Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast, an Odyssey original featuring the most notable names in MLB and all around sports every week. And Brett, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. We're here in Baltimore, so let's start with the Orioles. Your just thoughts on Corbin Burnes of it all, Kyle Bradish, and what do you think of this team heading into the season?
I think last year was great. They won 101 games. This late acquisition of Burnes is huge. You know, Burnes and Woodruff over in Milwaukee have been as good a 1-2 punch when healthy as anybody in baseball, in my opinion. He's been an all-star last 3 years, won the ERA title, I believe, in 2021, just ahead of young pitching staff. I think there's a couple keys for him, you know. Last year, it was huge having Bautista at the pen at the end of that game. I think he ended up winning the Mariano Rivera Award. They went out, got Kimbrel as kind of a stopgap until Bautista comes back in 2025. So I think it's essential they added something. Bringing in Burnes late, I don't know that anybody saw that, but I think it's a huge move for a team that won the division a year ago, got a lot of experience with a young roster. Bringing a guy like Burnes on board to head that, you know, be that number one in that rotation, I think it's great. I think Johnny Means, I think this is a big year for him. Can he be what we once thought was going to be a perennial Cy Young Award winner? Last year, they're fifth in ERA. I'm looking at a lot of things. I think the ballpark changes. You know, everybody talks about Camden Yards. I played there for years and years, a great place to hit. All of a sudden, they make that fence the way it is now. I'll tell you, the only thing I can really compare it to during my playing days is my pitching staff when we had to go to Colorado and how they started thinking about it 2 weeks in advance. I think with moving the wall to what I think as a hitter is a ridiculous spot, the gap there, or even straight away left field. But I'm telling you, hitters start thinking about, oh, we're going to Baltimore, oh, that big left field. They start thinking about it in advance. And I think it's somewhat of a home field advantage. The guys that hit there on a daily basis, you kind of have to come to grips with it early, like that's the way it is. We're going to play 81 games here. But I think overall it poses a real home field advantage for them. I love this team. I love the youth. And even below the big league team, that minor league development system, I think you're ranked recently number one in the minor leagues. With all this young talent that's in the big leagues, I think Mullins is a huge key. Can he come back, be that 30-30 guy that he was 2 years ago? I see nothing but positive things for this Orioles organization as a whole going forward. It's going to be exciting to watch. And with the even schedule now, you don't have to beat up on each other in that AL East, which is such a tough division. But it's going to be a tough division. I don't think it's going to be an uphill battle for Baltimore this year. I think the Yankees got better. I think Toronto's is very good. I think they had a disappointing year for them with their expectations last year. And then that's the Tampa Bay wild card that I have no idea how they do it year in and year out, but they're always there at the end. So it's going to be a tough division, but I really like the future for this Baltimore team, especially so many years being the doormat in that division, all of a sudden to win 101 games with this young youth movement, it seems like. It seems like Brandon Hyde's got them going in the right direction. It's exciting for the city of Baltimore.
Well, Brett, there might be a little bias with your brother being the manager of the Yankees, but would you consider the Orioles the favorite in the AL East?
I don't know if I consider them the favorite. The thing with the Yankees is, and I've kept a special eye on it since my brother's taken over there, but their whole thing is health. I mean, it seems like every year they're just hurt. You know, I look at them a year ago. Cole's been the constant, top of the rotation. He won his first Cy Young a year ago. But they got Rodon, who was an all-star in 22 and 23, Cy Young candidate. He comes over there and posts a 7 ERA last year. Nobody expected that. Nestor Cortez was beat up. Schmidt kind of logged a lot of innings. They didn't plan on having him. There's a few guys that have moved on. Herman, Severino has moved on. You brought in Stroman. When I first saw that deal, I thought, all right, do I like the deal? Well, it depends what the figures are. I saw a two-year in today's economics. 2 years, $38 million, I believe, Stroman got. I think he fits in great. I think he's a guy that's obviously no one – it seems like every year he goes out and competes, does well, and he's always looking for a job. But at 2 years, $38 million to put him in the three-hole, I think that's pretty good. Obviously, you're looking at the offensive side. Judge and Soto could be the best two in the game if healthy. Soto's in a walk year. He's got everything to gain this year. He's got a veteran team around him, and it's all going to depend. Vertigo, I think, is an underrated sign in left field. With all the fanfare that came with Soto, everybody forgot about Verdugo coming over from Boston. I think that's a big upgrade for them. How is Rizzo getting older? Is he past that point, or can he come back strong? Giancarlo Stanton, can he still be in the force in the middle of that lineup? Big disappointment last year for him. They still got that power bullpen. I think the Yankees are going to be tough. I really was trying, before I came on today, I was looking at this division. I really can't pick a favorite. I mean, you got to respect Baltimore, what they did a year ago, but the Yankees healthy on paper, to me, just as good as Baltimore. And the Yankees have that ability, if they're in the mix, if they're looking like a playoff team at the trading deadline, they can go out and get not per se Verlander, but a Verlander-type pitcher in the pinch. The Yankees have that capacity with their economic situation. So moving to Toronto, great rotation. Gausman, Berrios, Bassett, Kikuchi, Romano is the closer for them. They're great. That offense was underachieving last year, but you still got Vladimir, Bichette, and Springer. It's going to be a tough division. And then Tampa Bay. Who would ever think Tampa Bay would have a chance? Wander Franco being gone, McClanahan, the Cy Young favorite when he got hurt last year, and Glasnow going to the Dodgers. But what they've done year in and year out, I have to put them in the mix and say, I don't know what Tampa Bay does down there. I don't know what they put in the water. In a serious tone, I think Kevin Cash and that organization have just come up with some formula and a culture that when new players show up, it seems like new players are showing up on a yearly basis. It's basically like, hey, all we do here is win and go to the postseason, no matter what the budget is, no matter all the economic things that surround the Tampa Bay Rays, they find a way year in and year out, so I'll never count them out. So as far as the Orioles being the favorite, long, short version, I don't think they're the favorite, but I look at this division, and right now I just don't have a favorite. I think they're all pretty much equally matched, and it's going to see who stays healthy and who lives up to their potential to see who's going to win that division.
Brett, there certainly seems to be a lot of talent still out there on the free agent market. I just kind of wondered what you make of that development. Is it really kind of just the tangential effect of one agent, Scott Boras, representing the four main guys, and so there's a trickle-down effect to the, you know, Duvalls and these guys because they're waiting to see what Bellinger gets? Is that kind of what's holding it up? Do you think the collapse of some of these RSN, regional sport network models, have something to do with it?
I think it's a combination. Mm-hmm. You know, Scott Boras, it seems like, how many times have we had this conversation at this point, in this, you know, this point right at the deadline, always pushing the needle? And it's like, oh, this is the end of Scott Boras. But he's found a way to time it, you know, time and time again, come out on top. He's Scott Boras for a reason. I think I'd be hard-pressed if I was in my heyday right now and an all-star type player not to have him representing me. He's been that great and has got a great deal for so many guys. That's why he's the number one guy in the business. That being said, I think Scott and what he's famous for is going around the general manager, finding a way to get into upper management. I think they found a way. What I'm hearing in the agent world now is they found a way to kind of block Scott from doing the wraparound and going to somebody above and undercutting the general managers. They found a way to kind of keep him out. I think that might have a little bit to do with it. But I look at it. I look at a Snell. Look at the five guys that he's represented, his A group. And you got Snell and Montgomery. Montgomery, a year ago, obviously had that great run with the Texas Rangers. They end up winning the World Series. Snell wins the Cy Young and arguably had the greatest last 4 months that you can possibly have for a pitcher. I'm in San Diego. I watch Snell. I've been watching him for 4 years. When he's got his good stuff, he brings back memories. He's Randy Johnson. He's got that good of stuff. But I think he won the Cy Young there. He won the Cy Young in Tampa Bay. And what he did in between, I think organizations are really kind of shy about, wait a minute, do we trust him? Is it going to be the Cy Young Snell or that third starter Snell? And when you're talking $200 million, they're going to be hesitant. Montgomery, I think he's just a victim of Scott Boras waiting to sign Snell and set the market before Montgomery signs. I think that's what he's suffering from right now. You go to Bellinger, who's probably the top athlete on the board right now. Bellinger, same thing. He's the most valuable player a few years ago in Los Angeles. Then he hits 194 and 210. And now all of a sudden he's comeback player of the year. Well, if I'm handing out $200 million, I've got to take that into consideration. He's probably the best athlete in Major League Baseball. He plays center, he plays first, he runs the bases. He's dynamic when he's right, but I need to know what I'm getting. For the right deal, I'll take Bellinger all day long, but for $200 million, I, like a lot of organizations, they're going to pass on that. And then you go down to a Chapman, a Matt Chapman, great Gold Gloves third baseman, Platinum Glove third baseman, but year in and year out, 755, 757, 716 OPS. He hits 240, 220.
Yeah.
He's going to hit you 20 homers, but how much money are you going to give him? That's my thing. And then for me, J.D. Martinez, who's a consummate pro. He's 35 years old. I think he's one of those guys that in the what he does on the field, and he still can hit. Obviously, he drove in 103 runs a year ago. He brings more than that to an organization. He brings that veteran presence. He's so astute when it comes to hitting. He studies the game. I think he can help the people around him a lot. Somebody's getting a good deal. They're probably going to get a one-year deal with a J.D. Martinez. But, yeah. As a player right now, if I'm sitting there, I'm watching SportsCenter every day. I'm watching my guys out on the field. I'm chomping at the bit right now going, Scott, get it going. So we'll see.
Brett Boone, this was great. Thank you so much for your time.
You got it, guys. Thank you.